So first of all, I just want to thank you guys so much. This is my first time preaching in front of, on a Sunday. Thank you so much. I first want to thank God, of course. Without his guidance and pulling me to Pittsburgh, I would not be before you today. And I want to thank Pastor Danny. If you're watching this live in Italy, thank you so much. I appreciate your stewardship and your faith in me. Thank you to the board, the leaders here that we have, the leadership team, Cindy, Jamie, Habiba downstairs, John. Thank you guys so much for walking beside me, and my fiance, of course, Hannah. And I want to say I saved the best for last. Thank you guys so much for being there, walking beside me. It is truly a blessing. So, here we go. Have you guys ever noticed how the world is changing like crazy? Every single day, there's something new, something we're discovering for the first time, a new truth. AI. It's almost as if there's some sort of information that we're receiving that isn't lining up correctly with Scripture, right? And take note of that. And this idea of being individuals, right? Americans, we've been individuals since the birth of our nation, right? No taxation without representation. But we were united together in that. But now, it's almost like we are walking alone. We have this idea that I can do all things by myself. I don't need other people. But that's not right. So again, this prevailing wind of like, we're supposed to be walking out a Christian lifestyle, but the world is telling us that we shouldn't be walking in that way. And what about the state of the church? Right? Another huge thing. We have people in the church that are either leaving the faith completely, moving to a bigger church, which they're consolidating, or they're dying off. So we have a war, we have something going on with information. We have this idea of isolating ourselves. And we have a church that we should be on the move, but are we on the move? We should be, but we're not. So what's going on? There is something going on. And that's warfare. It is spiritual warfare. And it feels as if we're not winning this fight. Do you feel like you're winning this fight? Some of us are. Some of us are. But why don't we feel as a collective like we're winning this fight? The Lord said the gates of Hades cannot prevail when the church is on the move. And so if it feels like we're walking backwards, we're not going forward, we're fighting this war very defensively, like we're isolating ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not fighting this war correctly. We have to understand a few things, right? First, we have to get ourselves oriented, where the fight is actually at. And then we have to do something that a lot of us aren't doing well. First and foremost, as you guys flip to, we're going to be starting in Ephesians 6, verse 10. So as you're flipping there, I first want to read you this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We must be strong in the Lord. If we're going to breach these walls, if we're going to take apart the enemy, we have to be strong in the Lord. Amen? But first, we have to understand who we are fighting. Because if we don't know who we're fighting, then we're fighting each other, right? So, dear Heavenly Father, as we dive into your word, we just ask that you are with us. Your words are being spoken, and that everybody here is anointed with the Holy Spirit to be able to understand the spiritual things along with the physical things. There's a war that's being waged in the hearts and minds of people, and Lord, you have set the blueprint in your word in order for us to win this fight. So Lord, give us strength and confidence as we dive into your word and as we prepare ourselves for battle. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so a lot of you guys know I'm a Marine. I was a Marine. I served my country. So this kind of hits. No, thank you. So this topic is very fitting because, again, I want to reiterate, the state of the church is, it's not where it needs to be. We're not on the move. We're not attacking like we should be. And so the first thing we want to talk about here is who we are fighting, right? Ephesians 6, 11, verse 11 through 12 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." Stomp, stomp, wink, wink, that's important. "But against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." So our battle is not with I won't say that. We do have battles with people, amen? But it's not necessarily the people that we're fighting. It's the spirit behind why they are pushing back. Now, this verse isn't saying to not push back against people, right? We have to give people we have to tell people why we believe in Christ, right? And if somebody pushes against us, we should push back within love. However, the spiritual warfare here is beyond the individual. It's beyond the physical person. So when you're dealing with somebody that is being aggressive towards you, there's a reason why. And it's not physical, it's spiritual. And our enemy is beyond the physical, right? What is the enemy's goal? Kill, steal, and destroy. He lost the war. He lost the war. We were just thinking about that. Christ paid for our victory on the cross with his blood, with his sweat, with his tears. The enemy thought he won when he crucified Christ, but he lost. And so now he is doing whatever he can to make sure that he drags as many people down with him as possible, right? Because he is limited on time. Christ hasn't come back yet because there are still people out there that need us, right? And our enemy, our true enemy, like, we can dive in about who the powers, the authorities, the cosmic powers, all that stuff. Like, we'll save that for a Bible study or a Wednesday night, right? But the key thing here to understand is that if we're not in the spirit, if we're not fighting in the spirit, we cannot do a thing, period. Like, we can talk politics with people. We can say, oh, this is morally right, this is ethically right. However, what are we basing those morals on? If we do not have Christ, if we do not have Scripture, we do not have the Word, then all of that is meaningless. All of it. I listened to this one thing and said that the enemy is not necessarily against good morals and values. He's not. He's against Christ. So you can tell people as much as you want, like, to do this, to do that. But you're not doing anything. You're not gaining any ground. And so, like, those things are good, don't get me wrong. But we have to understand that the enemy is against Christ. And our enemy has a lot of forces. We read about how Jesus purged demons out of a person. And what did the demons say? How did they identify themselves? You guys remember? We are legion. A legion of demons in one person. Now, let's not get caught up with the numbers here too much, but let's think about this for a second. If a legion of demons, which is like over, what, 3,000? 2,000, yep, in one individual. So for everybody in here, if we're basing that, right, there are 2,000 demons for one person. I'm not trying to scare you guys. I'm really not. My thing here is to just tell you how serious this is. Like, the goal is not to talk about hellfire and brimstone. The goal is to, like, really take seriously how much is at stake. And we think that we're strong, but we are not strong. That is why God urges us to use his strength, to use his power, because without it, we cannot stand. It says here, for we need to stand against the enemy, right? And so that goes into the relentlessness of our enemy. He strikes and strikes and strikes and strikes, whether by his demons or his other cronies, the enemy is relentless. And it may scare some of you guys, but just wait. We're going to turn those fears into hope. But again, this first part is to really just drive home just how important it is that we utilize God's strength. And how do we stand firm in the face of this overwhelming force? One legion per one, or a legion per person, like, that is insane. And how can we fight this battle? But let me tell you something here. This is a big truth. Everybody, hold your horses here. God wants you to fight. And God never loses. So if God calls us to fight, you are going to win. You are going to stand firm against this overwhelming force that we may think is overwhelming, but it is absolutely nothing. It means absolutely nothing, because the battle is won, and these things, they're losers. They're losing. They're trying to drag you down. They're just like bullies, right? Bullies have the mentality that, like, they want to drag people down to where they're at because, you know, they can't be at that level, and these demons are doing that. The enemy is so crafty, though. I want to make this clear. The enemy is crafty. Right? He's been doing this longer than any of us have been alive, right? So we need wisdom, we need strength, but we can't do it on our own. And so the second thing here is the why we need God's strength, and I just kind of hit on that not too long ago, but here in verse 6, it says, verse 11, sorry, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the enemy's schemes, all right? So again, the enemy is tricky, right? Because on one hand, he wants you to turn away from God. But on the other hand, he'll just play the scales to his advantage. So if you're already falling away from God, he'll just pressure you to fall away even more from God. Or this is what happened with the Pharisees. They were following God's law to the T. And so what did the enemy do? He put more pressure on them. He said, okay, you want to follow God? Don't do this. Make sure other people don't do this. Don't do that. He puts so much pressure on people to really turn God's grace into a thing that is meant to be worked for. So we're getting rid of the faith and just focusing on how much I can do to get God's grace. But that's not the case, people. That's not the case, because God wants us to just have faith in him, in Christ Jesus. who died and who had won the war. And so if God, if we're fighting, right, and God is telling us to use his strength, to put on his armor, how come we're not putting on our armor? What good is a soldier without his armor? What good is a warrior without his helmet? He's got a huge target. You know, I mean, maybe it's small, but I mean, aim small, miss small, like you're going to get hit eventually, right? And if you don't have your shield, right, what are you going to use to defend yourself? And if you don't have your breastplate, like I can go on and on about different things, but if we're missing something crucial and we're called into battle, there's something that we got to fix. We got to go and get that armor, right? And so, now what is this armor? What is this armor? Ephesians 6:14, starting off here, says, "Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." So let's just pause there at the belt of truth. And notice, as we go through these different pieces of armor, that you'll start to see that truth, you can put truth in each and every one of those different categories. That the overwhelming or the overarching theme here is about truth in each piece of the armor. Thank you. Sorry, it's my first day. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you for all the grace. And I am sweating. It is pretty hot in here. So with the belt of truth, you got to think, like, this is our first piece of armor. When you put, so like usually the Roman soldiers, what they used to do, oh, I spilled the beans on something. They put on a tunic, right? And then after they put on the tunic, that's when they put on like what a lot of people will call like a skirt, right? It's their belt. Everything hangs off of that belt. Like your sword hangs off of that belt. Like that is another piece of armor right there to protect your, you know, your groin. Like you got your femoral artery right here. If you cut that, you're gone. You're gone in a matter of seconds. And so, but what is that truth? What is that truth? Yeah, it is Christ. This is God's armor, ladies and gentlemen. This is God's armor. And we'll touch back on the fact that this is God's armor here in a little bit. But the belt of truth, everything hangs off of truth. Everything is held together by truth. And that's not just the truth of the gospel. It is part of it. But it's truth of like everyday life. The things that you see, like air is a constant, right? That is a truth. The sky, it looks blue sometimes. Not right now, but when there's no clouds, it's blue, right? The water gives us life. Food is good. Meat, vegetables, like, I don't want to go into too much detail, but like, biology, what is there, right? We live in a time where truth is under attack, and that is a scheme of the enemy to confuse us, to get us off kilter, to freak us out, to be like, oh, I've known this my whole life, and now it's a lie, and I'm freaking out. Now I'm going to go hide and question everything, and who am I? What am I? Am I even a hurt human? Like all of these things are under attack. So truth being the first thing that you put on, right? And we have to embrace the truth, right? So a hard truth that people have a hard pill, like it's a hard pill for people to swallow, is that God killed a lot of people in the Old Testament. And the way that God interacts with different people, like throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament, you start to see like God is supposed to be really good, but here he's killing a lot of people. How does this make sense? So it makes sense. When you trust and put your faith in the Lord, that he's the ultimate designer. He's the ultimate creator, right? And so if we are his created beings, there is a reason why he's doing the things that he does. We may not know that yet, but we have to put our trust in him, right? And so when the enemy attacks you, he attacks you with trying to deceive you that the truth that you're reading, that you're seeing is not really the truth. So you have to really embrace the truth. That's why it's so vital that you put that on first. That's like the first thing you want to put on. But I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be the first thing you put on. Like, we don't have to go into like whether this is like you put these things on in sequential order. But it's so vital that we're just going to go through each piece, like how Paul lays it out. But just keep in mind that this may not be a sequential order, but we're going in the order of Paul. But the truth is so important. So when you see truth, embrace it. Embrace it. Because that is something that is under attack right now. And then we talk about the breastplate of righteousness. So the breastplate of righteousness and truth are intertwined right now because they're in the same sentence, right? So a lot of people will say the righteousness of Christ is what is being put on. And that's true, right? When we die to sin, right, and we die and we're standing before God, God will see Christ, right? Now, I don't necessarily want to get into the whole thing. I think it's called the impudence of Christ's righteousness. I believe that's what it's called. But that tracks, right? So if we put on Christ's armor, if we put on Christ, like the righteousness of Christ, if we live out of like a Christ-centered life, the enemy cannot penetrate us, right? Because what is that armor right here guarding? Your heart. What else? Organs. Yes, your vitals. Those are your vitals that righteousness is protecting. But I want to present to you another thing. We're in Ephesians. I'm not supposed to go back and because I'm supposed to preach what Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 is talking about. But the other thing is when we get baptized, right? We are a new what? We're a new creation. And that new creation, that righteousness that we have of being not of this world, but being transformed by this world, that righteousness that is imbued onto us, like we are following Christ. So it's your righteousness as well. It's, yes, it is Christ that is ultimately guarding us. But it's the righteousness of you making that call to be like Christ. So when arrows are shot at you, and we'll get into the different arrows or the ideas of that here in a little bit, but making sure that you don your breastplate is vital, right? And we had a saying in the Marines, it was like, these are the things that you have to take care of first, and when you're in the field, it goes weapon, gear, body, right? Your weapon protects you, and it protects your fellow Marines. Your gear, if your gear is good, it will take care of you. And so, and then you care about your body last, because those other two things are vitally important for your body to stay alive, especially in warfare and combat. And then your body is treated last, and it's not because your body is like unimportant. No, it's just those other two things are protecting your body, so then when you come back from like the mission, you're good, right? So it is so important that when we're thinking of this set of armor, that we need to take care of it, right? And then we go here into verse 15. This is interesting because it says, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Is shoes armor? Do you guys think of shoes as armor? Yes? Yeah, it's armor. In fact, we've been reading about this idea here, if you want to go back to verse 11, says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Right? If we don't have on the right, you know, shoes, like, how well are you going to stand before your bunions start acting up? I'll admit it, I got bunions. But seriously, like, why is it the gospel of peace? Think about it for a second. Shoes, we stand on shoes. We walk in shoes. We go to place in shoes. The gospel, we're told to go and tell people about the gospel. So if you make that connection, our feet should be ready to move at all times. Some Roman soldiers would never take off. Oh, there you go. I'm spoiling again. A lot of troops would not take off their boots because at a moment's notice, you could be mustered up and ready to go forward. And all you have to do is just put on the rest of your stuff. And when you're saved by Christ and you're transformed by the gospel and you really take it to your heart and understanding that we are to go out to make and create disciples and that good news saved you, don't you want to share that good news with other people? Come on, people. Do you want to share that good news with other people? There we go. Because that good news keeps us ready. It keeps us in the fight. That good news keeps us standing. Ancient warfare was fought basically as a big shoving match. When one side gave out, they would fall down. And then when people started falling down and they started running, that's when the killing started. That's when the killing started. It's not during the pushing. It's when people start falling down and running away. The shoes are so important because without those shoes, without the gospel, we have no reason to be in this fight. But we have the gospel, so we have to be in this fight. Amen? And it's the gospel of peace. It's the good news that God is with us. That everything else we're going to get into in a little bit is all true and important. That we do not die anymore to sin. We do not go to Sheol. We don't go to hell. We go to heaven. And we can be different people. If you don't like who you are right now, well, guess what? That gospel can change your life. And if you were somebody who you didn't like before, you can stand and say, because of the gospel, I am here today. And you're transformed by it. And that's done by the feet of those who led you to the gospel. Because if they did not have the shoes on, you would not be here today. And if you want to go back centuries ago, like we all had to come from somewhere, and we came here by Christians who were ready. And then we go into the shield of faith. In all circumstances, stomp, stomp, wink, wink, all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You guys know what a flaming arrow is, right? It's really hot. It's an arrow. No, not just that, not just that, but the arrows in which the enemy sends. I'll give you a couple examples. You have terminal cancer. You're going bankrupt. You won the lottery. You become famous. You can become famous. Now the first two, sure, yeah. That may sound like a flaming arrow, right? As far as like what the enemy whispers to you. So like if you get terminal cancer, God doesn't care for you. Or if you win the lottery, you don't need God. Do you see where this is going? So this is why Paul says in all circumstances, even when the circumstance that you find yourselves in may be good, like you win the lottery, oh man, how many of us would love to have that much money? you know, to be able to pay off debt, to be able to buy mom a car that she's always wanted, to move out, to be on your own, that's great. But if we don't remember who we are ultimately serving, that is to our detriment. And the opposite is true. If we get bad news that we have cancer, if we get bad news that a sister or brother in faith is dying, the enemy's whispering to you still. Does he actually care? And that's why it's so important, people, to take up your shield. Because when that shield is up, those arrows can't hit. Now you ask yourself, what is that faith? Well, I don't necessarily know, but what we can infer is that this faith is not just the saving faith that you have in Christ, right? The faith that you have that we know and we understand and we know that that God sent Christ down to die on the cross for our sins, right? That's the initial faith into stepping into our faith. But this is a different kind of faith, because if we're talking about a shield and we're protecting against arrows, right? This is a combat, like in the midst of combat kind of faith. Let me break it down. I'm going to start breakdancing. No, I'm just kidding. So when God made promises to us, like think of the Israelites, right? When he told them to remember what I did for your forefathers, remember how I took them out of captivity, remember how I led them through the wilderness, remember how I gave to them the land of milk and honey, remember when I built my temple with them, when I built my tabernacle, when I gave you the laws. We have to have faith that God is still that same God. In the midst of all of that turmoil, that fighting, the does he really care moments, the high anxiety, and I'm the first one to admit that I am scared sometimes. I am absolutely scared. But we'll get into that. But I just want you guys to know that it may be the faith, that saving grace faith, but it's also about remembering the God that loves you, the God that knows the end from the beginning, that there is a reason why you're under attack. And then we step into the helmet of salvation. Oh, real quick disclaimer. Keep the shield in mind for later, okay? Kind of spilled the beans on a few things already, but keep it in mind. Then we step into the helmet of salvation. This is a fun one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But we'll first huddle around the helmet of salvation. Anybody history nerds? History buffs? People like history? Anybody like history shows? Like, anybody seen Band of Brothers? Band of Brothers? No? One? Just one? Okay. Oh, we got Homer back there too. You've seen Band of Brothers? All right, so in the third episode of Band of Brothers, right, we meet a character who is scared, absolutely terrified. He hid during the initial dropping into Normandy. This is World War II, so when we were invading Fortress Europe in 1944, we meet a private who is scared, and he is hiding in his foxhole when the Germans are attacking their front line. And then enters a lieutenant who's asking him questions, like, what's your issue, private? And then the private is explaining, and then the lieutenant's like, I know what your problem is already. You have hope. Wait a minute, Donovan, aren't we supposed to be talking about hope? Aren't we supposed to be hedging our bets on hope? Well, yes, we are, but it's the wrong type of hope that this private had an issue with. This private wants to stay alive. Is that a bad thing? Is that a bad thing to want to stay alive? No, yeah, it's not a bad thing to stay alive. However, When you're hoping that you stay alive, you're going to do everything possible to not die. But your job is to fight the enemy. Your job is literally to possibly die. There's a high likelihood to die in combat, especially during World War II. And once that private realized that he just had to die, because that's what the lieutenant said, you have to think of yourself as already dead, and then you will be a true soldier. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that sometimes we hold out hope to stay alive. But let me remind you, you guys are already dead. Let that sink in for a second. I know it's hard to realize that, because I'm scared. Like I was just telling you guys a little bit ago that I was scared. I'm scared for my heart. I'm scared for different things, you know, like, geez, like I have a heart issue and I'm about to get married, for crying out loud. Like, Lord, I've been praying for this for so long, and then it just feels like you're going to take it away from me. So I'm trying to fight to stay alive. But in that fight to try to stay alive, we forget that we are already dead to sin and we are now alive in Christ. And that we have salvation, people, for crying out loud. Do we understand how long eternity is? We can't understand how long eternity is because of our minds right now. Like, we're trapped here in the present. We see the physical. We're going through the pain. And trust me, I want to be as sympathetic as possible, because I know and I understand that it is painful to live with some of the conditions that we live with. And the fear of not having set up things for our children, or what are they going to do, or how is it all going to work out? Like, who's going to go through my things? Like, you better not touch my Xbox. Like, stuff like that, right? We're joking around, but in seriousness, like, those are actual true things that people are afraid of. I get afraid of. But the helmet of salvation, people, when I say that this fight is not that much of a physical fight, I really, truly mean it. Some people will say it's 99% mental and 1% physical. Well, I say it's 98% mental and 2% physical. You want to know why? Because you have to stand on your two feet. You have to stand on your two feet. Now, you can laugh about that later. That was pretty corny. But in all seriousness, the helmet, right, is so vitally important. If you get hit there, what happens? You die. Or you're knocked out of the fight. If you're mentally not in the fight, you're just a body. And God doesn't want bodies. He wants you. He wants all of you. Not just half of you. He wants all of you. And that's what the enemy wants too. He wants all of you. He wants you out of the fight mentally. You think God's really going to save you from this? You don't need God. You've got the money. If you start thinking like that, people, you're done. And so that's why it's so vitally important we have on the helmet of salvation to keep us focused on heaven, to keep us focused, because if we don't have a true target, right, what are we trying to do? What is our goal, people? What is our goal as Christians? There you go. Get people saved, right? The Great Commission. What is it? Go make disciples of all nations and tongues and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them in the same way that I taught you. That is our goal, people. And when we start being lazy, like, oh, I'll talk to so-and-so later. I can admit that that's me sometimes. Life gets busy. Ask Hannah. We're planning a 250-person wedding right now, and it's coming up pretty soon. So it happens. But we can't let that be, like, those things be the things that keep us away from doing what we're called to do. That's why it's so vitally important we wear that helmet, people, because there are people that are waiting for you, and that if they don't hear what you have to say to them about Christ, here comes the hellfire and brimstone, they're going to hell. Again, I'm not trying to scare you guys. I'm trying to say how important it is for us to really put on the strength of the Lord. Because this is a real fight. Real people are dying, spiritually and physically. If you want to look at Africa and Nigeria, we don't know what oppression looks like, people. We have a taste, a little taste maybe. We're not invited to the table, but we're surely not oppressed like they are. And then, lastly, the last piece of armor is not really armor. Do you think of a sword as a piece of armor? Because I don't. I mean, sure, you can try to block with a sword, but the sword is the only thing that we have that is offensive here. Let me read to you what the sword is. And the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Notice how all of these link together to truth, right? Yes, we have the truth belt, but we also have the truth chest plate of who we are in Christ, right? Like, you are no longer that same person that used to do drugs. You are not that same person who used to get drunk. You are different. And if the enemy tries to tell you any different, and you start to believe that, then you have to make sure that you're wearing your chest plate, your breastplate, right? Then we have the truth of the gospel, which is on our feet, right? The truth that Christ can change anybody. Then we have the shield of faith, which is the true things that God is going to do for you. And you have to believe that and trust in that. And now we have the helmet of salvation, which is truth. We are saved. We do not need to worry about dying the first death here, and worry more so about dying the second time. So if we are good, we are secured in Christ, which we all have the Holy Spirit in us, which is a down payment, then we should not fear. We should not fear. And now finally, we come to God's Word, and the Holy Spirit, which is doing nothing but telling you the truth. And some of us either don't want to hear it, or they're not feeding the flames of transformation. Because the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is an offensive weapon. It is meant to cut through the enemy's defenses, right? Anything that the enemy throws at us when we're moving forward, it is a force multiplier. The sword of the Spirit is a force multiplier. Now, what is a force multiplier, Donovan? Well, Donovan, thanks for asking, because I don't know what a force multiplier is. A force multiplier is, take for example, a tank, right? And you're going up against, you know, enemy force with, you know, just a few people, or a lot of people, but you're only a few people in one tank. Well, that one tank is equal to like 30 or 40 different people. Because it's so up-armored, it has a pretty big cannon, and it can do a lot of damage, right? So that is the sword of the Spirit. You have a force multiplier within you. And that's why, Jamie, I'm so grateful that she talked about reading the Word, because what happened when Jesus went into the wilderness? He got tempted, right? Who was he tempted by? The enemy. What was the enemy using against Jesus? Scripture. The enemy can't create scripture. He can't create anything. All he does is twist and distort and lie. And what did Jesus respond with?
Scripture.
With scripture. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. If we know our scripture, we have a way to defeat our foe on the attack. Not on the defense. We've been talking about a lot of defensive stuff because, rightly so, he shoots a lot of arrows at us. There's a lot of them. But this sword that we have is a force multiplier. If you do not have your sword, ladies and gentlemen, you're not pushing forward. With the Holy Spirit, you are more than conquerors. And what is being more than a conqueror? Because if a conqueror just takes over land that was previously held by another people group, another country, or another nation, why does Paul say we'll be more than conquerors? It's because there is something above that. And what is above that? It's being a liberator. We were made in the image of God and in his likeness. And the enemy hates that. He absolutely hates that. And there are people out there that believe that lie that the enemy is saying, that they are not made in the image of God. God doesn't love you. And he has territory. People are territory, ladies and gentlemen. And we have to go and liberate them and become more than conquerors. And the only way to do that is to go on the offensive. And now with the armor now empowering us, how do we take the fight to the enemy? Because we have the helmet, right? We're focused on heaven. We have the sword. We can cut them down. We have the shield. They can't get to us. We have the breastplate. We can stand firm. We have the shoes, which, again, we can stand firm. We have the belt of truth. We embrace the truth. So we have all the pieces. Now, how are we supposed to work with these pieces? What's the tactics, right? What's exactly press forward? But how do we press forward? Well, we'll find out here in just a second. If you go to Ephesians 6, verse 18 through 20, I split this up in a little bit, different ways here. First, verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Supplication meaning, like, this is earnest prayer. Like, this is like, I need to pray prayer. Like, I need this, Lord. I can't do it alone, Lord. And making supplication for all the saints. Ooh, you're praying fervently for not just yourself, but your first person, but the person next to you. Bonnie, if you could go ahead, and I kind of want to end myself, guys. Again, it's my first time preaching. But Bonnie, I just want to show everybody, like, the image that Paul is seeing when he puts all this armor together. Do you guys know what that is? That's a Roman legionary. Yes, I'm a nerd. I will call it the correct thing. Not just a soldier, but a legionnaire. Rome conquered the largest portion of the world at that time, the Mediterranean, which includes Italy, Spain, Greece, and then even down into Africa, over to where Christ was born in Israel, the Levant, you know, and then even in modern-day Turkey. Rome was massive. And those guys, they did the conquering. Yes, they were led by generals. God is our general, but this is also God's armor, which God is with us. So he's a warrior God, right? He is fighting this battle with us, and he wants you to step up and fight too. But notice the shield. It's a little smaller than it actually should be, but the shield is actually supposed to be pretty big, like to cover like from down here to like my chin, and it's overlapping my body, right? That's how big these shields are. And then we have here, we're talking about praying, and praying for the saints, right? Praying for people like you and me, that we need help. We cannot do this alone. And for me, and also for me, this is verse 19, that words may be given to me, and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. So he needs help. We need help. We can't do this alone. We cannot fight this battle alone. He's scared too. Can you see that? Did you just see that right there? So he can boldly speak the gospel, the mystery of the gospel, the deepness of the gospel to people. Because he's human too. We're human. We need to stick together. We need to be together. And then Paul says finally right here in verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Ladies and gentlemen, you are a slave to something. Like you are owned by something. Either you are owned by God or you're owned by the enemy. Worship team, if you want to please step forward. And then when you get up here, Joe, whenever you felt led to lead, go for it. We have to be bold. We can't take this lightly. Like, this is a serious fight. And this fight is for each and every one of us. We're not fighting alone. Bonnie, go ahead and show them the second image, please. All right, now I'm going to nerd out some more. Do you see what that is? Do you see? What's the wall there? What is that? You can say a wall. It's a wall. It's a castle. It is a fortress, right? And how many times in Scripture have we read about the strongholds, the fortresses that are being held by the enemy? Who are those people on the ground? Roman legionnaires. The legion, right? And they're holding up their shields. Why are they holding up their shields like that? They're being fired upon by what? Arrows. From the what?
Enemy.
From the enemy. I love it. Thank you, sir. And those shields are not protecting just themselves. They're protecting each other. So when we go out into the world, we have to hold our shield up. Because we're not just fighting for my sake. I'm fighting for your sake. You're fighting for mine. You're fighting for Jamie. You're fighting for Cindy. You're fighting for Paul. You're fighting for Don. And when his shield is cracked, when his shield is broken, we step up. And we lift each other up. Amen? This, like I said in the beginning, yes, it sounds like this is an overwhelming force the enemy has out for us. But it's not. If you fight the right way, if you fight smart, if you fight hard, and you fight with God, nothing is impossible. And now, at this time, be honest with yourself. With eyes closed, heads bowed, look into yourself. Ask yourself, am I winning this fight? Do I have the full armor of God on? Am I ready? And if you find yourself really struggling to figure that out, and some of you may have the armor on, but that armor has some battle wear on it, right? That armor might be chinked. It might be missing. You might be missing some armor. So I invite you at this time to come to the altar. Don't hold back. Come up to the altar and get equipped. Because the only way, that's what church is all about, is to equip the saints. And that's what we're doing today. We're getting equipped, people. Because the second this church service is over and you go out into that world, you're stepping into the battlefield. So please, take this time and come get equipped. This war was fought and won on Calvary. The battle still wages, however. But have hope and know that the armor is not your armor. You do not have to fix it. This is the armor that is given to you by our gracious God. This is his same armor that he wears when he goes to battle for you. When Christ is there against Satan, accusing you. Christ is in his armor and saying, he is mine. She is mine. So walk with that strength. Walk with that hope in knowing that the Lord God Almighty, the only uncreated thing in this entire universe, the cosmos, wants you equipped with his armor. Nothing but the best for his sons and daughters. His alone. And so, Father God, we just ask and we lift up each and every person here today that has in need of your strength, in need of your armor, in need of your love, and to know that salvation is at hand and that we should not fear death, but embrace the truth of the gospel, to push forward, to push and press the attack on the enemy. Because for far too long, it feels as if we've been on the back foot, Lord, and you are a God that conquers and not a God who retreats, but you're a God who defends and breaks down the walls, the strongholds that hold us back. And so, Lord, I just ask you to re-equip us and to equip those who this may be their first time actually putting on the armor, so that way we can do battle in our day-to-day lives spiritually and walk in faith and love, united in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Alrighty, guys. Do you feel equipped? I don't know about you, but I'm ready to take on the whole world right now. However, a soldier's got to eat, right? We got to eat. Is there food? There's food? There's food today. So please, connect with each other. Go grab some food. May God go with you. Thank you. And I love you.